She sees Jesus and she touches his robe because she has so much faith that if she just touched the robe, that she would be made clean. She had to have enough faith to leave her isolated place and be like, I don't care about anything else because I know he can heal me.
The way that he speaks is like just powerful to me. And I think that he was confident in everything that he did and everything that he said. And there was no questions to be asked by anybody.
Yeah. None of us are too unclean for God. The world might make you feel that way about yourself because of things you've done in the past. But for Jesus, like, he wants to heal you. He wants you to have faith to know that he can heal you. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Salty Podcast. I have Hunter here on today's episode. We like when we get to do these together because we can just sit, talk, have uninterrupted time. But I will say, if there's sound effects in the back, it's because
there's people working at our house today.
Yeah, there's our grasses being mowed and our house is pressure washed, getting ready for spring.
Yeah.
I will say I'm so ready for spring.
I know, me too. I've enjoyed a little bit warmer weather and now today it's cold.
It is cold. Yeah.
So, I don't think it's going to last though. This is probably the last cold day of the year. I say cold. It's only... I mean, it's 52 degrees out there right now.
Yeah. I am definitely enjoying the sunshine, though.
Oh, the sunshine, yes.
I will say I used to be a full, like, what's your favorite season? Fall, winter. I loved wearing sweaters and all that kind of thing. But now I'm a summer girly.
I totally agree. I was always fall, winter. But now, I mean, July and August, that's pushing it a little just because that's when it's 25 billion degrees outside. Yeah,
and I feel like that's when people start saying, gosh, I'm ready for cooler weather.
Exactly.
I tried not to get stuck in that mindset.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's like
you're always looking for the next thing.
Yes, always. And so I try to remain in the season I'm in. And that's been a lifelong thing. And honestly, it's hearing other people when they say, gosh, I'm just ready for some rain or I'm just ready for some cooler weather or whatever. It makes me think, I'm like, I don't want to sound like I'm always looking for the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I will say, for some reason here, it always rains on the weekends. Like, one of my buddies told me, last year, this time of the year, 13 weekends in a row, it rained.
Dang.
So, like, either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or I guess really Saturday or Sunday, it rained. Yeah. And it's done that, I don't know, we're probably getting close to that this year.
Yeah.
We're probably, you got to be at like 6 or 8 weekends in a row.
You think?
Yeah.
I guess I just haven't paid attention.
Yes.
But I know I am so thankful for sunshine today. It is a beautiful day. And
it is quite beautiful out there.
All the, if you hear Hunter sniffling, it's because the pollen. Is the pollen everywhere or is it just more south?
I don't know if it's necessarily a south. Well, maybe just because of the temperatures. But it's not going to be. It's because we live in a agricultural area.
That's a hard word.
Like, you know, it's not going to be in the middle of, there's not really that much pollen in the middle of a big city.
Yeah. We're in it. I'm appreciating what we're in. I'm appreciating the season and the season we're entering, just the warmer weather, sunshine. And yeah, I just feel like, I think the switch for me was, what's the seasons called? Like, people get seasonal blues or seasonal depression whatever. I feel like I am in that category now. Like, I get down when it's not sunny. And so I'm trying to wear, and look at me, I'm wearing dark colors right now, but I was about to say, I'm trying to wear brighter colors. And I find when I wear that kind of stuff,
puts you in a better mood.
It does.
Better, like, headspace.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking forward to all that. And I'm just really happy about the season we're in right now.
Yeah.
So, how are you?
Excellent. No. Yeah.
Therapy session. Entering to therapy session.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, we're just in a busy season right now. And I enjoy being busy. It's hard for me to sit still. It's hard for me to be in the house all day. Now, I can be at home all day. No problem. But, like, it's hard for me to be inside the walls of the house all day. So, like, I've been working on that. If you follow me on Instagram, you may see my videos. I've been working on that dirt bike.
Y'all should follow him. I'm so proud of him for all his new content.
My content creation. Mm-hmm. It's pretty mediocre at best, but we have a good time doing it. And
you have a good time doing it.
I was going to say, not we. I try to get Devin just to come out there. She's like, well, I have some editing to do. I'm like, come sit with me. Yeah. Just come sit out there. You can edit in the shop with me. She's like, no thanks.
Well, sometimes I like to be able to sit on the couch and relax. Yeah. When Ivy, because the time we do that is Ivy's not here.
Yeah.
And so I'm just not being touched or, you know.
Sure.
All that stuff.
Well, but I would be working. I wouldn't be touching you. No, it's just the fact.
I know, but it's just to lay on the couch.
Yeah, just chill. Yeah. No, I feel it.
I'm so thankful we have a pool. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a pool at Dad's. And yeah. So I just never thought one day we would have a pool.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so appreciative and grateful. And I'm going to be really pregnant this summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited to float.
Yeah. See, I'd never had a pool growing up. My aunt had a pool and she lived next door. So I got in it a little bit. Not like a typical kid would be getting in the pool if there was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just never really have been a water person. Mm-hmm. And I like just being outside, like taking care of the pool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I would rather do that than mm-hmm. be in the pool.
Yeah.
Now I say that, I don't want a chlorine pool because that's a lot of maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know? So there's like a happy medium of like having to do stuff to it. But anyway.
I'm just a fish. I was on the swim team growing up and I don't know. I just love the water.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I always said. If we could do it, like, I want a pool.
Yeah.
And then I hear when you're pregnant, it's nice to be able to float and therapeutic for your mm-hmm. belly and stuff. So speaking of pregnancy, mm-hmm. I'm 20 weeks now and we did just have our anatomy scan. Went great. Baby's so healthy. I did get diagnosed with placenta previa. Of course, that word scared me and I cried white in front of the doctor when the doctor came in. But I feel great about it now. I mean, not that it's a good thing. Yeah, I just have a peace about it.
Yeah.
They've said that it could correct itself. So I think we'll have a ultrasound at 28 weeks. See about that. But what was so hard for me, like hearing that, is because I went downstairs mm-hmm. and you weren't in that appointment with me.
Yeah.
And so she had just told me like my numbers were not good.
Your blood sugar.
Right. So yeah. My A1C, if you don't know anything about diabetes, A1C is just your basically an average of your blood sugar over a 3 months period, 90 day period. And so mine had gone down mm-hmm. and it was so, I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds so good. But then I guess my spikes are when they're high, they're really high. And that's when she said that this could lead to miscarriage. And
see, I mean, sure, if your blood sugar got like super high, mm-hmm. sure, okay. Like when I was at the fire department, I would see some like 550s, 600s, you know, mm-hmm. that's like crazy out of whack.
Yeah.
But I feel like if your A1C is coming down,
yeah,
the way that I've always understood it, and I could be wrong, It's the long term effect, right? If your mm-hmm. if your blood sugar stays super high for a long period of time and it goes untreated, that would give you, first of all, high A1C. That is when you develop mm-hmm. the problems like kidney problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, so like I feel like yeah. if your A1C is down.
Well, I guess though because I'm there's a baby pregnancy in me. Thing. Yeah. So it has to do with placenta and all that. So anyways. Yeah. Not, we don't have to go into detail on all that, but so just hearing that, you know, this could lead to miscarriage and then going straight upstairs to, oh, you have placenta previa. I'm thinking they're tied together.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just left that appointment thinking, great, if something happens, it's going to be my fault. Like that's the feeling I left with right. was guilt.
Yeah.
And so then when the doctor came in, she was super sweet and encouraging and she had just had a baby. So she was... I feel like that was a God thing because
yeah.
my regular doctor was in a surgery. So he had a new doctor come in, but it was like perfect. Mm-hmm. But that goes back to say, I was taking on the burden and the guilt of, oh my gosh, if something happens to this baby, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like trying to remind myself that this baby is his before it is ours.
Yeah.
God knows the plan he has for mm-hmm. him in my stomach.
Yeah.
So that is why I feel like I had such a peace after all that, mm-hmm. because I'm like, you know, I can do my best. Like, as long as, of course, I don't want to cause harm to him by doing silly, stupid things.
Right.
But me just trying my best, and that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. It takes a burden off of me.
Yeah.
Because I will say, even with Ivy, I can tend to get anxious and worry about her life and her safety and how she's going to turn out and all this. Mm-hmm. But again, she's his before she is ours.
Yep.
So as long as we are doing our best mm-hmm. and trying to parent the best we seem fit and all that and pray over her and...
Realistically, there's nothing we can do about it. Sure, we can like shelter her and never let her do anything, but you're right. I mean, it's not our decision ultimately. Like, I guess what happens in her life. I mean, obviously we have a, you know, when she's a baby. But I'm saying whatever's supposed to happen in her life to her and, you know, she's going to be who God wants her to be.
Yeah.
And at least that's what we pray for, right? So it's just a, you know, people say, let go and let God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, as cliche as that sounds, I mean,
it's her free will that she'll be able to choose one day, like right from wrong and all of that. Just like we had the decision to make. Mm-hmm. It's very deep. Like, my mind starts, like, I'm in deep thought right now about it all. Uh-huh. And anytime I can seek wisdom about that, like, okay, the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to people? And, mm-hmm. All of that stuff, yeah. I start getting in really deep thought about it and just really thinking about it. And so then I like to seek counsel or wisdom from other people and mm-hmm. the word and all that.
Yeah.
What would you, okay, so if somebody asked you, like, why did God allow that to happen? What would you say? Like, about the miscarriage, because we did get mm-hmm. comments. I've seen them just about. Because they know we're Christian and we had the miscarriage, and they're like, so you are worshiping a God that did this to your baby if you think that everything happens for a reason and all of that. Mm-hmm. I can internally explain it to myself, or like it's like a feeling I feel, mm-hmm. but to outwardly say it, like to tell somebody, well, this is, I'm not good with words. I struggle with words.
Yeah. The way that I understand it from the Christian worldview is the world isn't perfect. And so when Adam and Eve were created and they chose sin over God, then that pretty much doomed everybody else. You know, their action, we reflect their actions. If they had chosen not to eat the fruit, then we would all have a perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they chose sin over God. Well, so
people will say, like, well, then why did they even have that choice to choose evil? But then, I mean, God loves us so much that that's a gift, is free will, because mm-hmm. it's not that loving, in my opinion, if we were all made. He doesn't want us to be forced into a love with him.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why there's free will
mm-hmm.
to choose in that.
Yeah.
Because I saw actually a video the other day, and it's like somebody asked, then why would he condemn people to hell if he's loving?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like heaven means with God and hell is apart from God.
Right.
And so he's not going to take all these people who don't love, don't want to know him and don't care, but like, well, you're coming with me anyways mm-hmm. to heaven because they had the free will, the choice to choose, mm-hmm. choose that.
Yeah.
So to me, it makes more sense. Like, that makes him more loving, because we can choose whether to follow him or not.
Yeah.
Because then we would be robots.
Yeah. I mean, they chose sin over God and what their fleshly desires were more than what God had planned for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's messed everybody else up. Why that had to mess everybody else up? That is just because that's how God made it to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
But
it's a heavy question.
Yeah. Like you said, I don't think God condemns anybody to hell. Our human and like fleshly desires, when mm-hmm. the fall happened, that is what created the cycle of heaven or hell for humans.
Mm-hmm. You know, the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people or to people in general?
Yeah.
Because he loves everybody.
Yeah.
It's just if you choose to accept that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, kind of like Kirk said on our last podcast. No, not the last podcast, podcast before. Mm-hmm. If you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. But very he said good. That he didn't find God because God wasn't lost. Mm-hmm. God found him because he was lost. Kirk.
Well, just like Jesus leaves the 99.
Right. Yeah.
To go find the one.
I don't think found is the
it's not
perfect
like,
word because he knows where we all are and who we all are and things of that nature. That was just how
Kirk worded that or whatever.
Well, I don't know of a better word to use there anyway.
And y'all, we're not very theological, obviously. We haven't had studied, so we're just having a conversation based on this. So
we are two normal people having this conversation. We haven't been to seminary. We're not theologians. Mm-hmm. You know,
so we might not make sense, but it's because sometimes I feel like the inside of my brain doesn't make sense when thinking about it all. It's like way too big for me. Mm-hmm. And that is something I pray for is more wisdom and
realistically,
knowledge. And the way to do that is getting in the word. And so, but still, I feel like some people are just
made more. How God works and his decisions that he makes and have made are too big for any human to comprehend. It's not too big for your brain. It's too big for all of our brains.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, sure, there's people that are very smart and very wise and have studied a lot. Mm-hmm. And they sure know more than we do. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, nobody will ever be able to understand.
Understand God. It all. No, for sure.
No.
And that's what I picture. Like in my head, I have God as this giant. Yeah. And then we're like tiny ants. Mm-hmm. So we're never going to be able to comprehend the fullness of him or how big he is and... I mean, we don't know. No, we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I cannot wait for the day in heaven. I always tease and say, I hope that he has like a projector.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like explaining it all. Like, all right, guys, this is everything.
Well, I wonder if there's like a, you know how like we did Grow Track at church? If there's like a thing like that.
Yeah.
Like, all right, guys, three Sundays in a row. The new people in heaven, we're going to sit you down and teach you
teach
all this
you all
stuff.
This. That would be great.
That is hilarious to think about. But I mean, I know like everybody has all these questions.
So many questions.
Like, but then again, I think some people say, I could be wrong here again. I think some people say that when we get to heaven, we will know.
Yeah.
Like it's just an automatic, like you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And that's like to encourage people to listening. Sometimes questions stress me out and it gets me in my own thoughts and my thoughts can spiral and then I get upset because I don't know and all this. And it's like, we don't have to. The only thing we truly need to know is to love God, to believe in Jesus Christ and that he died for our sins and have that relationship with him and we're good to go. We don't have to have all the questions. We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to. Yeah. It's good to get to seek wisdom and to gain knowledge because obviously the more time you spend with him, spending the word, you're going to learn more. I know more about God now than I knew about him when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, the constant, I will know more about him in 30 years than if I'm here. Mm-hmm. As long as you're putting into that relationship and loving Jesus with all your heart and mind, then there's nothing else to worry about. Love God, love people.
Yeah, you're right. That's the two, what do they call it? The two greatest commandments, I guess. Love God and love people because everything else falls under.
Yeah.
Like all the Ten Commandments fit under love God, love people.
Sorry if y'all hear noise. No. They're spraying the windows that in the room we're in right now. So that for me, because in a way, this is just me speaking. I feel like such a baby Christian.
Yeah.
In the sense of my knowledge. My love for Jesus is huge, but all of the questions, all of the, like if somebody put me on a panel to go to a debate, I would just pass out because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I would
just pass out.
So that's something I pray for. I earnestly, truly want to be more knowledgeable with the word and scriptures and the Bible stories. And so that's something I'm working on, but I also don't feel the pressure anymore that I have to do all those things or be those way to be closer to God.
No.
You know?
No, I agree with that. I think that in a way, because I've experienced this for myself, and maybe it's just my personality, the more that I have learned, in a way, the closer that I feel
Yeah. I feel like I want to say yeah, me too, because don't take what I said as me saying I don't want to, I'm good where I'm at. That.
Yeah,
no. We're supposed to constantly be trying to learn more but and know more.
Yes. What I wanted to say was we're not all called to be that person that can answer everybody's questions and that, you know, is a theologian or is a pastor or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not every Christian is going to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said a second ago, like as long as you love God and are truly like seeking after him.
Yeah. Because you will learn more about him the more you seek. Yes, I might know more about him in a few years, but that should mean I'm even closer or feel closer.
Yep.
And in that way, I guess to say, wrap all that up, what I was meaning by anything I said is just, I have a piece about it's okay that I don't have the answers to questions.
Yeah.
My one and true role here on earth as a Christian is to love Jesus, love people, like to be a disciple, share the name of him and, you know, all that.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
It is so wild to me, though. I can read the Bible one day and then the next day read the same passage and comprehend it a completely different way.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But I feel like that's part of the... I do feel like God reveals things at different times also. Like when I'm reading one day, he's revealing this, the same passage, but revealing something completely different the next day.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk about that. Me and you talked about the verse about the woman who was bleeding, who had the blood disorder, and went and touched Jesus' robe.
Yeah.
And so when I used to read that story, I just saw, oh, God heals.
Yeah.
But now I can read that story and I'm like, that story encompasses faith. Mm-hmm. It encompasses courage. It encompasses that Jesus has time for everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I do. Let's talk about that. Let's read the.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's read the scripture. Because for me.
Yeah.
I was at a conference a few months ago. The woman was preached a whole message about this one verse. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
I was just amazed by all the things that I hadn't ever grasped in that passage and just the message it had for me in my life and encouragement that I needed in that moment and even now. So I've been wanting to, this was before we started the podcast, and I'm like, that is a scripture I do want to talk about and kind of dissect because I feel like other people would benefit from that too.
I'm going to summarize a little bit.
Yeah, and just then, say a little verse, and then we can just tell the story about what's happened.
So Jesus was going to heal a daughter of a synagogue leader. It says she was about 12. She was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So you can imagine how many people.
A mob of people.
All right, now it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.
That passage, I had chills.
Yeah, I know.
Whenever you said that, he said, my power has come out of me or whatever. And there's so much to that story.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at it as, like for me, if you go back in history, when women bled, and we all have menstrual cycles, but most everybody, or did at some point in their life.
Yeah.
You're looked unclean. At as unclean. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this can all be symbolical to how we feel in sin, where we feel like we're unclean, where people look at us, oh, you're unclean. So she was looked at unclean. When you're unclean, they had to go away. So they had to be separate, so isolated from their family, from their friends, from everybody, and until they're well again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this woman had this blood disorder. So if you think about it, she never stopped bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like permanently kept away.
Yep.
permanently
isolated,
permanently looked at as unclean. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine her self-worth?
Yeah.
And can you imagine how she felt feeling isolated? 'Cause when I'm by myself for so long at a time and feel isolated, it just starts this spiral.
Know. Yeah.
And so if that's painting the picture of this woman. So she hears about Jesus. You got to think these people didn't want to be around her.
Yeah.
Because they think if you touch her, if they touched her, if she touched them,
they would be
they're all unclean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she hears about Jesus. She makes her way through all of those. She was probably scared to death.
Yeah.
Because she's like, these people could cast me out.
Yeah.
Stone me. Mm-hmm. All of this. So despite all that was against her, she heard of the name of Jesus and went to go find him.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pushing through this crowd of people. So she's touching all these people. So at any moment, if they could have easily cast her away.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
She sees Jesus and she touches his robe because she has so much faith that if she just touched the robe, that she would be made clean.
Yep.
That's how much faith that she had.
I know.
And she had to have enough faith to leave her isolated place
mm-hmm.
and be like, I don't care about anything else because I know he can heal me.
Yep.
But I'm sure it was scary. Yep. I'm sure she was fearful. And like, I'm like, did she have any kind of doubt that what if it doesn't heal me?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm just, but she had enough faith to just be like, this could make me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if she had all the faith in the world, or I don't know if it was just even all you have to have is this faith the size of a mustard seed.
Right.
She touches Jesus' robe. He, in that powerful thing in him, you know, like his disciples said, teacher, all these people are touched. What are you talking about, man? Yeah. We got to go. We're going to this daughter's house.
Yeah.
That's where we're leading right now. Yeah. You're being touched. And he's like, no, I felt my power go out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Jesus for you. Yeah. He can feel all that.
Yeah.
But I also love, this is a side note, so he was on his way to go heal someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't stop him for in the moment healing this woman.
Yep.
So for me,
you know what?
What?
I did a devotion on this with some guys about Jesus was never in a hurry.
Yes.
No matter, like that right there, crowd of mm-hmm. people going crazy, mm-hmm. mobbing him, whatever, going to heal a 12-year-old girl at that. Not in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Right. He has time mm-hmm. for you. He has time for me. Despite what I'm going through, sometimes I just feel like I'm not enough. Like, God, I don't deserve his presence mm-hmm. in my life. But he's not in a hurry. And he's
Retweet.
Omnipresent. He can do multiple things. He can be helping somebody and then also still have time to help you.
Mm-hmm.
He has time. And yes. everything's in his time. Just like you said, he's not in a hurry. So yes. he's not running through the crowd being like, I've got to get here.
Nope.
Because he knows.
Remember, Jesus is 100% God
mm-hmm.
and 100% man.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
A lot of people forget that he's 100% God.
Yeah.
And I've seen that and heard that.
Well, they take it, they
with
make
my,
him
with my
separate.
Own. Yeah.
Yeah.
They make, yeah. But no, it's not separate. In our brain, it's hard to imagine that it's not separate.
Because he was made as a man.
Right.
And, yeah.
But he's still God.
It's because they're the same. The Trinity.
Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. It just kind of, yeah, that story's crazy.
What, like, I think means in, the most to you about it?
I don't even know. Like, I mean, just what you said, like, just her faith. And it, I believe, like, about Jesus being 100% God, I think that he knew who touched him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He knew who mm-hmm. touched him. And I guess that he knew that she was about to touch him.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's, man.
I think.
It's just, it's like, here we go back to the human mind can't mm-hmm. comprehend.
Right.
It's, like, when she touched his robe
mm-hmm.
and the power went out from his robe to her.
Because he knew her faith.
It makes mm-hmm. more sense if he would have touched her.
Yeah.
But like all she touched was his hoodie. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like she touched his clothing.
Yeah.
And she was healed.
Right. It would have made more sense if he was like, put his hand
put
on
his
her.
Hand
like, you
on
are
her.
Healed, my child.
Yeah.
But the fact, and so this was also pointed out to me, gosh, because this story is so dynamic. So after he made, what Jesus made a scene. I know. Jesus made a scene. He could have, he felt his power go out and be like, oh, she's healed. She's good to go.
Yeah.
He stopped what he was doing.
He wanted to make an example out of her.
Yes.
To show that, to show her faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because imagine how embarrassing she felt. Oh, embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now not only did she feel like she maneuvered her way, making all these other people unwell, now Jesus pointed attention to her. You know, in that moment, was she, did she think she was in trouble? Because she trembled saying when she told him that it was her.
Yeah.
But he used that as a, I mean, that's why it's in the Bible. That one story can mean so much. Mm-hmm. And all the people around that were watching and that knew of this woman being unwell and unclean. Mm-hmm. Now for them, that is a testimony before their eyes.
Yeah. That story always reminds me a little bit of the story, similar story, big crowd of people, but it was the guy that was paralyzed and that couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And his friends like took him to the roof, carried him up on the roof of the house or whatever it was that Jesus was in and lowered him in through the roof so they could get their friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like the faith of all three of them, even the paralyzed guy, you know, the faith of all three of those people. And it was the same thing because Jesus said, he didn't say, at first he said, your sins are forgiven. And so all the religious people that were there, they started saying and thinking, well, who is he to forgive somebody's sins? He's, because they didn't, I think at the time they didn't think or know or whatever that he was God. And had the power to forgive people's sins. Jesus calls him out. Basically, if I'm not mistaken, he says, let me just
look. While Hunter's looking up that verse, I just want to encourage using that scripture about the woman with her faith and all that, that none of us are too unclean for God. The world might make you feel that way about yourself because of things you've done in the past or whatever it may be. But for Jesus, like, he wants to heal you. He wants you to have faith to know that he can heal you. And that is just such a beautiful picture to me. Gosh, I just love that story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here it is right here. All right, so I told the story. So they lowered him down and he said, Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And it says immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God.
Wow.
So.
I know. And all these stories that are in scripture are for us.
Yeah.
Yes, they were for the people then so they could see with their own eyes. You know, for us, it's the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. And it is so cool to see a testimony play out like visibly. But the stories in scripture, all of this happens so that way we could see the goodness of God and that he is a miracle worker and that he's also powerful in all of that.
Every time somebody says miracle worker, the song.
Waymaker.
Yeah, that one.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Yeah.
Yep.
That was cringy. Cut that out, Randy.
No, leave it in. That was great. Singing debut. Every time Jesus heals somebody, obviously it's powerful because he's healing them. But the way that he talks to them, I don't know. I think about that. Like, that's my Roman Empire. The way that he responds to people.
That's your Roman Empire, that's
sweet. Yeah. Like when he responds to people, when he heals them, sometimes not even when he's healing, just when it seems like when he is, if you want to call it using his God powers, okay, if you want to say that, the way that he speaks is like just powerful to me.
It's like he knows he doesn't have to justify himself or explain himself.
Yes, he doesn't explain himself. And it's so short. and precise and exactly.
Not a huge elaborate speech.
Right. It's not an elaborate speech. And yeah, this is kind of obvious, but he's not bragging. He's not saying, hey, look at me. I did this. Mm-hmm. He almost like dismisses it in a way to me because, like I said, every time he talks to somebody, it's so short, precise. Like, son, your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, and go.
What do you
home.
Think that says about him? Like, what does that mean to you?
It's kind of hard to think about that because he's Jesus. Mm-hmm. But somebody, like a human, somebody that I know, like whatever, somebody that speaks that way, I view that person as confident. So if I think the same way about Jesus, then I think that he was confident in everything that he did,
yeah,
and everything that he said, and there was no questions to be asked by anybody.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, he knew all these people still doubted him, even when they saw the miracles front of their eyes. Yes. But he just didn't.
But he was confident in his mission here on earth.
Yeah,
the 3 years that he spent here teaching. And what?
The 3 years?
Yeah. From like, you know, his 3 years that he did.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
He was born here.
Yeah.
So what do you mean 3 years?
Well, he was 33 when he died, but he didn't start like
his ministry until
he was 30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. And that's why I'm excited about my 30s.
Yeah.
Because that is cool.
Yeah.
To think
that's
about.
That's why I said his 3 years teaching.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I didn't.
I mean, he was like obviously a child and man of God all before.
That's something that
you don't really
we should
know.
Talk about on another episode. I would love to. It's so like none of that is spoken about.
Yeah, and, what, his time or, before he was.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I just wonder, was he like a perfect kid? You know.
Well, like I'm reading through Luke right now, and it talks about all the Gospels talk about a little bit of his life before, but it's not very much. But there was a time when he was a kid, I want to say an early teenager, where his parents had traveled somewhere. There was like a synagogue. He ended up staying there. His parents didn't know that he didn't go back home with them because there was like a large group of people that were traveling together. His parents just thought he was, you know, with his buddies or with somebody else. He stayed at the synagogue. Then his parents get home looking for him and they go back and find him there in the synagogue, which is like a church. And they said, you know, we've been looking for you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, why have you been looking for me? Didn't you know that I would be in the house of my father?
Okay. And I need to go read that. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Don't take an exact quote on that.
Yeah. No. Okay.
It's just crazy. Just
but also, he was tempted like we were.
He was. That's what I'm saying is like I said, to me, the confidence that he had in everything that he did, in every word that he spoke, is just astounding to me.
I love your perspective, hearing your perspective on that. I just want to be more and more like him. In the way to not be him, obviously, but just to love like he does. And the love that he had, like hearing those stories for people, like the unclean woman and all of that, it makes me want to be a better person.
Yeah.
And all of that. What?
I see your eyes.
I'm not teary-eyed. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I don't have a problem admitting whenever I'm about to cry. But yeah, this was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to do one soon where we should. Yeah. Anyway, we'll figure
if y'all
out.
Enjoyed how we just kind of
got
talked.
On here and talked. We had no direction of what we were going to do. So
yeah,
that was right off the cuff.
But if y'all liked us kind of reading the scripture and talking about it from our perspective and our insights of it.
I want to say this again. We are not theologians.
Yeah. I know.
We are too average.
I have that desire to be that way.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I'm meant to be that way. Hunter has talked about like going to school just to learn.
Well, I would do it online, but yeah.
See, I would do that too. Like, I want to take classes. Yeah. Just like how you want to learn Spanish. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to take Bible classes.
Yeah.
To learn. Because take me back to vacation Bible school when I was little and tell me all those stories again in adult form.
Yeah.
But, okay, a good tip is Ivy's little kid Bible. It has, like, the stories.
Yeah.
Very easy summarized. To read, summarized. Yeah. I read those to learn.
Yeah, I know.
And then, so to learn that and then go into the scripture and then read the adult version.
Yep, for sure.
Anyways, I hope that you all have a blessed day. I just pray for blessings of your life and just get in the word, get in prayer. if you have that desire to be closer to God mm-hmm. and to have that relationship, that intimate relationship, he's there.
Yeah.
And
surround yourself with people who are the way that you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not involved in a church, but you want to be, get around the right group of people, mm-hmm. get around the right group of friends, surround yourself with like-minded people or the person that you want to become. Mm-hmm.
So anyways, we love y'all. Thank y'all for being here. Thank you for listening. And leave us a review or just a comment if y'all would like us to discuss some other things or anything like that. So
yeah,
I hope y'all have a great day. See y'all next Monday. Bye.
Bye.